Thank you for joining us on what is going to be another hot and sticky summer day. But here we are in the coolness to praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday, July 2nd at 7 o'clock for our continuation of the study of the parables of Jesus. This week, we are looking at the parable of the growing seed found in Mark chapter 4, verses 26. There are handout sheets available on the podium for this week's study. We are so happy that Pastor James has returned safely from his 2 weeks of school in Toronto. Welcome back, Pastor James. And our deepest sympathy is extended to the Augustine family, as Kevin's sister, Sandy Price, passed away unexpectedly on Tuesday, June 24th. Let's continue to uphold the Augustine family in prayer this week as they grieve and mourn the loss of a loved sister. Also, I would like to bring your attention to 31 days of prayer for our nation, starting on Tuesday, July the 1st. We will be praying for each day of the month for our nation of Canada. So please pick up one of these pamphlets at the back on the podium so that you can add this to your prayer every day. Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 147, verse 1. And it reads, "Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him." Please stand as we sing our first hymn, "Stand Up and Bless the Lord."
Go to the throne of God as a church family together. God, our Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the ability to be here together in worship. And Lord, we thank you that it's a privilege to come before you and to praise you. Lord, we thank you for the ability to come to you in prayer. And Lord, we know that we can lay our requests at your feet and leave them in your hands. Lord, we know that you tell us not to worry about anything. But human nature sometimes changes how we handle that. So Lord, we just ask that you help us to put our complete faith and trust in you, to depend on you and leave all of our cares and problems right before you, knowing that you are in control of all things and you are a loving and good Heavenly Father that wants to see his children do well. So Lord, we thank you that you are always watching over us, that you all are also always providing for us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, for the freedom that we have to come and worship together in this place. Lord, we just thank you for Pastor James and the ministry he has here. Lord, we thank you for the safety of his travel and the enrichment that he would have experienced while he was away for schooling. And Lord, we just thank you that for him, and we pray for his family as they are not here in Canada. And Lord, we just ask and put the request before you that you would make a way for that to happen. So Lord, we just ask that you orchestrate the things necessary to bring his family here to Canada. Lord, we just thank you for the goodness that you provide to us. We thank you that for this church and this community. And Lord, we just thank you for opportunities we have to share your love with people in our neighborhood. Lord, we just ask that you give us more opportunities as the summer months come and people are out more. Lord, just give us opportunities to meet people in the neighborhood, meet them on the street, meet them in the stores. And Lord, help us to be bold and not afraid to speak out to a stranger and give a good word of encouragement or to share a word of scripture or to invite them to come to church. Lord, just help us to be bold and not afraid to speak out for you. Lord, we just thank you for each person in our church family. We know that there's health issues, and not all things are spoken of or shared with people in our church family. So, Lord, we just pray for the unspoken needs within our church family. We also pray for needs that we do know about. Lord, we just pray for anyone that needs any healing at this time. Lord, we pray for people that maybe there's problems within family, with children that don't know you as Lord, and that's a concern on our hearts. So, Lord, we just pray that you'll bring that opportunity for us to witness to our family members that don't know you as Lord and Savior. And, Lord, just help those opportunities to be presented for us to not only speak to them, but for others to reach into their lives. Sometimes we aren't the most, it's not the most receptive when it's a family member that you're trying to share the gospel with, Lord, and it comes across better from somebody that's not the immediate family. So, Lord, just bring people into lives of our family members that don't know you as their Savior. And, Lord, we just pray for that. Lord, we just thank you for the service here this morning. Lord, we just thank you for the ability and the freedom to meet here. We thank you for our leaders in our government. Lord, we just ask that that they look to you in making decisions, whether it's at the local level of government or at the federal level of government. Lord, we just pray that decisions that are made are honoring and pleasing to you, and that they are made in consideration of what your word instructs. Lord, we just pray for other countries within our world. There's turmoil, there's wars, there's fighting. Lord, we just pray for peace within our world. Lord, you can bring that to pass. You can make that happen. You can turn hearts of leaders that need to know you and follow what your scripture and your word instructs. So, Lord, we just pray that you would influence this world and influence the leaders of this world to make change, not only in countries where there's persecution, but in countries where there's no faith at all. So, Lord, you know the needs within our world, and we lay those before you as well. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we have to come into your house and to worship together. Lord, we just ask that you will speak to each one of us through the music that we sing, through the words that are spoken, through the scripture that's read. Lord, just draw us to yourself this morning, and Lord, help us to be rejuvenated and refreshed and be bold and have the desire to serve and speak out for you when we leave. We thank you for this time as a church family, and we just pray for healing for anyone in our congregation that has unspoken needs. Lord, we just ask all of these things that we bring to you in the Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Turn in. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles for our scripture reading this morning, which is taken from Acts 28, verses 1 through 10. This is ashore on Malta, Acts 28, verses 1 through 10. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out from the heat, fastened itself onto his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his word.
I want to say a good morning to each and every one of us. I'll say it's nice to be back home. This week was an interesting one. It was a week that started on last Sunday with heavy heat. The heat that reminded me so many years ago while I was in northern Nigeria. It was tough on me. From Sunday up until Wednesday, wow, it was just kind of boiling. But then comes Thursday morning, great. Some kind of shower. Then the temperature went down to 18 degrees Celsius. I said, hallelujah. And that made coming back quite good. And then yesterday through into this morning, very cool and okay for me. So I thank God for the opportunity for the trip as well. And I enjoyed joining us. I was on online last week, Sunday, enjoying the service as well. And up until when I was called up to minister at my former church, Mount Denis Baptist Church at Toronto. It was a wonderful time. And they send their greetings and their love, especially my pastor, Reverend Dennis Johnson. He sends his love and his family as well. Okay, so today is the last Sunday of June. And like I said, throughout the month of June, I'll be trying to put on something somewheres from Africa. So I think the first Sunday, I was privileged to put on what we would call the kente that comes from Togo and Benin. And then afterwards, I had the opportunity to put on the Ghana wax. Very nice stuff. So today, I'm putting on the Nigeria, what we call, what you call a garment, but then we call it agbada. It's also similar. It has a similar name in Ghana as well. So that comes with the top and the pants and then the flowing garments, which probably look like the ancient ones, but these are modern ones. So because this month we've been talking about the Carousel of Nations, and it was a wonderful time throughout Windsor. I remember talking to some people at Toronto about it, and they said, oh, why is it that they're not doing something like that over there? I said, well, don't worry, you guys just copy from us, and then it's been 50 years, so we can give you copyrights. Just copy and do it. It's okay. And my joy is that we are able to celebrate the diversity that the Lord in his own wisdom has made. Two, it also helps us, like I started the first Sunday, to see that on the day of Pentecost, it was actually a carousel of nations. People came from all over to be a part of what God was about to do in opening the church. So the first church had its own congregation to be a multicultural congregation. And then the final church, as the Bible would describe in Revelation, I reminded us, showed us how that God, at the end of all times, up there in the heavens, we will be doing only one assignment majorly, to worship God day and night. That's why I enjoy the fact that I can sing. The only ministry that will continue after here is the ministry of worship. So people like Don get to do more work. For the rest of us, start our rehearsals now so that when you get there, it's not strange. There will not be the ministry of prayer. There will not be somebody talking like James here preaching, because God is all of the message that we need. But in terms of worship, praising God and singing, all of us are already part of that choir, whether we are ready or not. we all will worship God day and night from all types of tribes, nations, you know, ethnic city. It doesn't matter because God is the God over all. So our main theme from the first Sunday up until this last Sunday of June is the subject of the supernatural. Trying to know and understand that God is still at work today. The works and the power of God did not come to an end in the book of Acts. In fact, many have described that the book of Acts should actually, rather than be called the Acts of the Apostles, it should be renamed the Acts of the Holy Spirit through or in the lives of the apostle or through the lives of the apostles. And that's exactly what it should be for each and every one of us. Because when we understand that it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, then we know that we are part of the next chapter that are supposed to leave out this evidence of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit and of a God who is still involved in the affairs of men, even when it doesn't seem that way, even when life circumstances and situations seem to speak otherwise. We must never forget that God is still doing a lot. His power is still at work in our lives, in our world, in our situation, in spite of whatever is going on all around us. So this morning, I will be drawing our attention to the last chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 28 from verse 1 through to 10. And we'll be talking about get ready for supernatural turnaround. Get ready for supernatural turnaround. The supernatural means something that is beyond the normal. Something that is beyond the normal human life and expectation. It is as much as talking about a divine intervention, a step in from the divine into the natural. But then supernatural is not exclusive to those of us who are Christians because there is the negative supernatural, which has to do with the devil and his court and how he chooses or wills to always bring out fake where God is the original when it comes to supernatural or divine. The story that we find ourselves in Acts chapter 28 from verse 1 to verse 10 is preceded by another story in Acts 27, so that we understand when he says, and when we got to the island of Malta, or some translations like King James would say, the island of Melita, it said, we were shown the kind of kindness we had never seen before. So how did it describe the kindness? Unusual kindness came from the islanders. They called them barbarous people, but what they simply meant is that people who did not speak what we spoke. They did not speak Latin, they did not speak Greek as much as we did. They had their own local language, which was unique to them, but then they had to have a way to communicate with one another. Have you ever been in a place where you don't understand what people are saying, and then you seem lost? Sometimes they are being cool towards you, but then you are skeptical because you don't understand the meaning of what they are saying. Maybe right now they are planning something negative against you, or they are about to hurt you. You don't know. The beauty of being able to understand the language when it's been spoken is it makes you feel at home. It makes you feel more relaxed. It makes you to be able to process things that are going on around you or things that are communicated towards you. But when it's not like that, it is always a bit scary, kind of, especially when it's a place that you have never been before or you don't even know anything about them. This was not a season where you had Google that you could search and get life, you know, of what was going on in that area. And then you already have engaged with the place before you came in there. Before I came into Canada, I had the opportunity at least to engage with documentaries, engage with things online that you could see. And then you had the opportunity with Joe satellite stuff, you could actually see real-time events in some places. So that helps to mitigate whatever fears or skepticism that you don't come up with a sudden shock. when you find yourself in places. But it was not so at this time. Moreover, Paul the apostle in this situation was a prisoner. He was taken prisoner. He would have been released. But then because he himself had appealed to the emperor, because he saw himself not just as a Jewish person, but much more as a Roman citizen. And which meant if you had taken some judgment, he had the room to appeal to the highest court, or what you call the Supreme Court, which is where the court of the one who is the emperor was. But outside the fact that he was appealing because he was a Roman citizen to the highest court, he was actually also believing that was an opportunity to be a testimony to the emperor. Why? Because as at the time of his conversion, one of the words that did come to him was that the Lord had told him that he was going to stand before kings, he was going to stand before great men, and he was going to bear witness of Jesus. And so, where is the greatest place that you would have to be, if not in the emperor's court? That would be a place where you can speak to the one who is the Caesar, or who is the emperor at that time. You talk to the person. You are able to bear witness of Jesus. And everyone in the court, his chiefs and all the parliamentarians, will be there. And they would hear of this Jesus. And so Paul had the opportunity to have been set free and go. But then he wanted to make sure he got there. In fact, while he was preparing that he was going to go on that journey, I think it was one of the daughters of Philip, who was a prophetess, came in. And they took Agapos and some other, and they kind of described that the person who has this belt or this tunic was going to be chained, bound. It was going to suffer if he goes to Jerusalem. And after hearing those real prophetic words, Paul said, "Well, I'm still going anyway." Now, sincerely speaking, if it was you and I, and you got a foreword, a revelation as to the suffering you are going to face to get to where you are going, and even after you got there, you say, "Lord, thank you. I give you the praise for this opportunity. Thank you for giving me this information. Now I change my mind. I'm going this way." But for him to leave his Christ, to die his gain, all that it was for him, it's another opportunity to preach Jesus and let people hear of him. And he will not miss that opportunity for anything else, not even for his own freedom. So when as they were going, the Bible said they had been put on a ship, and while they were going, he got a revelation. And he got this very strong revelation, and he said to the one who was the captain, he said, "This way we are passing through is going to be facing a lot of havoc. We might end up having a shipwreck. Why don't you pass this other way?" And then the captain looked at him. "How long have you been a sailor before?" "No." "Who are you?" "I'm Paul, a preacher of Jesus." "And then you should understand that I'm experienced. I've been sailing this way for long." That's the kind of picture it was seen. Because he never believed what Paul was saying when Paul told him there was danger ahead of them and they were going to have a shipwreck. He said, "The weather is okay. From the weather report, everything is going to be cool. Everything is going to be nice. The wind, the sea, no, there's no trouble today." Have you ever followed the weather report in preparing for a day, only to enter the day and it looks as if either their equipment did not work very well, or the one who gave the weather report did not understand how to read it? Anybody have you experienced that? Oh, glory to God. So you understand that how it meant when Paul was talking to the man, and everything that about the weather spoke well. So he, as an experienced, sailor, would have checked all that he needed to check. And he said, "There's no trouble." But in the spirit, Paul had gotten an insight into what he would never have been able to know. And so they continued on this journey. Everything was fine. They got to a place, and then the wind started his own game. Great tempest. And it was going on. And then everybody began to be scared. They got to a point, they took all their own stuff and began to throw it away to lighten the ship. Even food that they were supposed to eat, they threw it away. Their change of clothes, they threw it away. Everything, they were throwing them away. Why? Because they wanted the sheep to be lightened. In fact, it got to a point that some of those that were working with the captain began to consider, let's kill all the prisoners in a way so that we can lighten this ship. And you know, when I read that part of the story, it's very easy to remember that some of the people that were carried as slaves, bought as property during the slave trade time, some of them met such end. That they, when there was trouble on the ship and they were thinking of there's going to be a shipwreck, they would rather throw them into the water, even though they felt it was expensive for them because they are paid for such slaves. But rather than losing their lives and losing other goods, they were ready to lose the sick, the one that was wounded, the one that was injured, and the one that was stubborn. They threw them into the sea. And that was their end. No grave. The fish would definitely have a field day. But these were human persons. And so, while they were contemplating, Paul had come up to them and said, again, he said, the angel of my Lord had appeared to me, and he has said, I have given you the lives of everyone on the ship with you. There shall be no loss of any life. And so when Paul came to them this time, and he was telling the captain, there will be no loss of any life, the captain believed him. That definitely, if he told them the first time that the Lord had showed him there will be a shipwreck, and it happened, now that the Lord is saying to him, everyone with you will be saved. And so the captain gave an instruction and said, do not kill any of the prisoners. And then they had to chain them and make sure that they swam ashore. So Acts chapter 28 from verse 1 tells us how that they had been able to escape from the sea, from shipwreck, remaining alive, and they have come on shore. And so that's where the narrative started from. And then in this place, it was a strange place, a place they had never been. But good enough, God had prepared the heart of those who are indigents there. God had prepared their heart to receive them warmly. And Paul said, they showed us unusual kindness. And while that was going on, Paul felt, oh, they were cold. The people set a fire for them so that it could warm them up. And while the people were doing that, Paul felt that it would be out of place if they were helping us who had come, escaped from the sea to get warm. Why not also be kind enough to go and gather sticks so that we could have this fire continue? I shouldn't leave that responsibility on those who have been kind towards us. And so he began to gather sticks. Don't forget, this was actually like night, so the place was dark. And there was rain and stuff, and there was cold. But then he managed to gather. By the time he came back to the fire, as he was putting the sticks to add to the fire, the Bible said a snake came out and wound itself on his wrist. And everyone around, especially the locals, said, oh, this man is an evil person. Even though he escaped from sea, he didn't drown. Now, a snake, it's like the universe. It's like whatever has decided he just needs to die. And now he now has a snake wound up on his hand. And the Bible said everybody turned and they were literally waiting to see what will happen to Paul. So, 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours. I don't know how long they waited. But the Bible said, after they have waited for a long time, they changed their minds. Why? Because they were expecting him to swell up, probably from the poisonous bite of the snake, or to fall down dead suddenly. And after waiting a sizable time and none of this happened, they changed their mind and changed their words. They were calling him a murderer before, a criminal, but suddenly they said, wow, this guy is a god. He must be one of the gods that have appeared to us in the form of man. And they wanted to start to worship him. The news spread all around. And they took him into the city or into their town. And by the time they got into the town, the one who was the chief of the island, the number one citizen there, said, "Oh, I need those men, especially the one who we thought was a murderer, who I had the information was a murderer, but now he's like a god. I need him in my house." And so here comes Paul. Because of Paul, every person on that ship suddenly got a better treatment. They get to visit the one who is like the mayor of the area. And they get to be lodged in a semi-five-star hotel, or more than that. And so, coming from a shipwreck, coming from a cold and terrible day, coming from a situation that, yes, they were prisoners, and it couldn't get worse with the sea getting angry at them, so to say, and with the fact that they would have nearly been killed, and then coming on land, receiving kindness, but the next thing is to see snake wound around Paul, and that meant danger for the rest of them. But Paul shook the snake into the fire, and that was the end of it. And he didn't die. And then suddenly, from being just regular prisoners with all the guards, all of them now had a special treatment. And the Bible says, as they got to the place, the father of the one who was the leader of the island was sick. And Paul prayed for him. And miraculously, he got healed. And then the news spread. Oh, do you know that guy that was talked about, that their ship wrecked, and then they were at the seashore, and then we were trying to prepare some fire. He brought in stick and snake, you know, beat him and round, you know, seized up his hands, and he didn't die. Do you know he just prayed for the father of our chief, and he's okay. Say, are you sure? Yes. Without any emails, without any poster, nothing, but the word of mouth, it spread into the whole township, and everybody said, now we are carrying all our sick people to this guy. And God miraculously healed all of them. In the close of the writing there, the writer of Acts, which is Dr. Luke, says, they loaded us with everything that we needed for our journey. These are journeys that take months. And so you needed enough food supply, enough change of clothes. And they said, everything we had lost to the sea, we had them again by this wonderful town so that we could make our journey. And we were honored. So, this morning, in a shoot sharp quick, number one, the word Melita or the word Malta means honey. According to some sources, it means honey. It means honey literally, but then sweetness. So, God took them from the raging storm and the sea and brought them on the island of sweetness. I don't know what is the raging storm in your life. I don't know the challenges that you might have been facing or that you will yet face in this year. But one thing I can say is that prepare yourself for God's supernatural turnaround, because there is no situation that God cannot turn around. While we were at Tyndale this week, especially this last week, our lecturer decided to, we were doing something on trauma, loss, trauma, and resilience. And then the theme song she chose that we should sing every day after the first day of class is a song that most of the time is sung in the children's Sunday school. But she said, when you reflect on what it means, then you get to know that this our God is awesome. And what was that song? Very simple song. My God is so big, So strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the earth, the stars are his, and he works too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. How many of us have sung that song before? Good. So I'm not alone. And so we get to sing that. These are all men and women. And we get to sing the Sunday school. But the thing is that it speaks to the same truth at all times. That whatever you're going through is not as big as our God. Whatever we are facing in life is not as big as our God. In fact, what you and I go through are but little. Why? Because we are not the only one going through what we're going through. But then God is on our side. Once we have given our lives to Christ, we are not actually insulated from the troubles of life. Being a Christian is not like a space suit that definitely you are insulated from the environment. No. No. The difference is that it's more like a parachute, or like, what do we call that other thing that you put on? A life jacket. That's more like it, because you still feel the environment, you just get to float. Like a parachute that you're given in the plane. You say, put on this in case there's an emergency. It simply means that God has gotten us, even when it looks like if things are not going to work the way we want. So are you like Paul? You are asking yourself, because why did they put Paul in prison? Because he was preaching about Jesus. That was his offense. And today in our world, to be a Jesus person, it's popular, but sometimes seem unpopular. Because as far as popular opinion is concerned, secularism has taken over the day. And so sometimes when we stand with our Christian mindset, when we stand for our Christian beliefs and virtues and values, we get a pushback. Can you imagine that Paul receives the revelation? He's been taken a prisoner. He's going to Rome. These people are not his friends, so to say. And then the Lord says, as he appeared to him, there's going to be shipwreck. Sincerely speaking, a whole lot of us, knowing that the people around you are not the best of friends towards you, and it doesn't seem as if they've been too kind, you're going to say, oh Lord, just save only me. Let all of them die. Save the other prisoners, but let these wicked people crumble. Would that not be an easier prayer to pray? But then Paul was still interested. Even though he was a prisoner, he wasn't having the fairest of treatment, but he was still concerned even for those who held him as a captive. And that is the measure of Christ in us, because even he says, pray for those who hate you. Those who despitefully use you still share and express the love of Christ to them. Is that simple? No. But is it doable? Yes. Because many of the supernatural experiences that God will bring our way would require us to always live as an expression of his love to our world. For people to get to know our Jesus more. For people to get to receive the message of salvation that changes lives and changes hearts and transforms people, it would require from you and I to be agents of his love, expression of his love. Paul the apostle got the revelation, but he wasn't interested in them dying. He wanted everyone to be saved. The prisoners and those soldiers who held them captive. And when the Lord said to him, I will preserve your life with everyone that are with you on this ship. He didn't say, Lord, preserve only my life. Oh, Lord, preserve the life of those who like me. All those who hate me, kill them very fast. That would be an easier prayer in our time and generation. You know why? Because it's easier to hate. It's becoming more difficult by the day to love. Because sometimes you don't even know what people mean by love. The definition of love is becoming more difficult. But for those of us who are Christians, we understand the definition of love from the standpoint of God. What is that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And so if we're going to experience the supernatural turnaround of God in our lives, we must live as people who are disciples of Jesus in love. Number two, we must believe that the supernatural is not outdated, is not obsolete. It is still there. It is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you believe that the supernatural and the divine intervention of God has expired or ended with the disciples, you will never have the opportunity. You may never have that opportunity to enjoy it. Because the just lives by his own faith. And the Bible says in James, it said, no one who has a double mind or a double-minded person cannot receive any good thing from God. Why? Because he or she is held bound by his or her own doubts. In fact, Hebrews 11 says to us, it said, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It said, by this faith, those of ancient, the elders of old, they obtained good report. And then it said, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, he exists, he is living, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Science is real. Things around us are real. But can I say, the God that we do not see physically with our eyes is closer to us than even our skin. God is still our God. And so, if you have found yourself in places where you have been lost before, or you are in a place that seems lost, or you are in a place that it looks as if you are praying, you have done well, but there's the shipwreck of life, the storms, the tempest is raging, and it's like whether it's in your family, whether it's in your health, whether it's in situations, but what you never expected are manifesting. Remember, you are not alone. Isaiah chapter 43, God says, when you pass through the fire, I'm where? I am with you. When you pass through the water, I am there with you. I will not allow the fire to kindle upon you, neither would I allow the waters to drown you. Would you feel the toughness of the situation? Yes. Sometimes mental trauma, sometimes physical challenges, things that are painful. Sometimes it might be a betrayal. Sometimes it may be a lack of the relationship, the types of goodly relationship you think. Sometimes it may be a challenge of the kids not following the ways of God as you expect. Sometimes it may be your job. Sometimes it's your business. It may seem to be falling apart, even though you are giving up giving in the efforts and you are making all that is and you expect things to align. Sometimes it may be in your career. While you are giving in much, you are less appreciated and things are not working the way they should. Whatever you're going through, we serve a God who is there with us. The song that was sung earlier said, God will make a way where there seemed to be no way. He works in ways you cannot see. He will make a way for you, and he will be our God. Hold us closely to himself with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way by a roadway in the wilderness. He'll lead you. Rivers in the desert you will see. Heaven and earth will fail, but it's what will still remain. And he will do something new today. God will make a way where there seemed to be no way. It works in ways you cannot see. He will make a way for you, and he will be your God. Hold you closely to his side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way, and he will make a way. There's still room for favor, even in hurting times. God will put the right people into your life, even when it looks like you have all the wrong people around. Does that mean all the wrong people will be eliminated? No, sometimes it's not so. Sometimes God, in his own supreme mercy, still allows us to have to deal with the wrong people. And for some of us, the wrong people in and around our lives are the stumps. But you know the interesting thing? Where you have the numbers of the wrong people, no matter how much, God would always find the right kind of people to place into your life deliberately so that you can still have some light of hope. May not be at the time you expect, but it will always surely be on time. Because God makes all things beautiful in his own time. So Paul the Apostle, a man who had preached, a man who has seen God's power, suddenly looks as if God had forgotten him. Yes, he got a glimpse of God's divine information that something terrible was going to happen. But then he was surrounded by people who did not believe. Sometimes when those around you do not believe, your family members, your friends, your colleagues, your partners in business, or even your partners when it comes to your marital life, maybe they don't believe in the things that you've believed God has shown you. Listen, you will face the same shipwreck. Because you can't do so many things alone. But even in the midst of it, your hope is that you knew before it did happen. And then God will make a way. And when he makes a way, those who did not see your Jesus, those who did not understand why you pray, why you go to church, why you read your Bible, those who do not understand your faith will begin to see that your God is real through your life. Through the pain that you have to go through, through the valley of the shadow of death that you had to pass and survive. Sometimes even the healings do not come. But when the healings do not come, just like Paul, Paul had time to pray for people. But then the same Paul would pray concerning a situation, and he said, I prayed 3 times, and all I got from God is my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, I'm made strong. Wow. You would expect it will be a quick one, like a noodle cooking, a fast snatch. But then he would pray 3 different seasons and God would not grant. Yet he was praying for other people and stuffs were happening. The most important part of the story is to understand that the supernatural turnaround that we are expecting may not be in the ways that we have phantomed it should be. Many a times it comes in God's size ways and the ways God best believes that it suits us and blesses us. And ultimately transform others. Why? Every supernatural turnaround that we have enjoyed and we will yet enjoy. It's not about you and me. It's about helping others to see Jesus, that he's still alive and he is well. So this morning, I just encourage us once again. Get ready for a supernatural turnaround. Even in the times that it seems impossible. But because we serve a God who is faithful, loving, kind, and is willing to go beyond our expectation. And he wants to use our story to bless other lives, to heal other lives, to raise others, to draw others close to him, he will do what only he can do. So be encouraged. Be inspired. Be challenged. We may not know all that each individual is going through, but the God who knows all will never disappoint us. So cheer on. Cheer up. The journey is far, and we'll still continue to move until we leave this side of eternity. We will live in his faithfulness and enjoy his best and keep our faith in him and know that he can still show up even in times when we don't expect. Let's bow down our heads as we pray this morning. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to reflect on your word again. Thank you because indeed you are so big, you are so strong, you are so mighty, there is nothing you cannot do. There are times that we doubt these words. There are times that it doesn't look so real to us. But Lord, day by day, as long as you give us breath, we have come to understand that your faithfulness is real and you will never leave us just to move through life on our own. Lord, we pledge our allegiance to you, always to be your children, to stand in your word, to be led by your spirit, to know the possibility of what you can do, that you can step into any situation. And Lord, we will walk by faith and not by sight, not by our feelings, not by our pains. We will walk because we know you love us and you sent your son to die for us. And on that cross, he took every pain, he took every suffering, he took every sin so that we can walk in the newness of life. We believe this, O God. We receive your sacrifice and your love. And we say, no matter what life hurls at us, we refuse to give up. No matter what people around us say or believe, we will continue to trust you as the Ancient of Days and the ever-living God who is with us, who is for us, and who walks through us. Thank you, Father. We prepare for supernatural turnarounds in areas that seem hopeless and helpless, in places that look as if darkness is prevailing. Even when we are weak and down, we would always trust you. Thank you because we know we can rely on you because you are dependable. This we have prayed in faith. And we say this in Jesus' name, amen.